Proverbs chapter 11, the Lord hates unjust weights. Well, in those days, before they had digital scales, if you sold something, you sold it by weight, and you worked out how much it weighed by putting it on a balance and weighing it against a heavy weight. And of course, you could just twist the scales a bit so that it actually appeared to weigh, that the amount of produce you were selling was a bit less than what you were charging for. Now, to do something like that, you would only make a very small amount of money. You couldn't really twist the scales too much, or else it would be obvious. And so it's like petty theft, like stealing a few coins here and there. And God really hates that. He says the Lord hates people who do this. So God really hates the idea that, oh, I'm going to lie and be dishonest just to get a little bit of extra money. We are to trust in God and to know that He loves us, and so not to have to resort to this kind of bad behavior. The proud will soon be ashamed, and the modest have wisdom. So then those who think that they're so smart, they are going to be brought down at the day of judgment. If you do good, you will be guided by honesty. But people who are not trustworthy are destroyed by their dishonesty. So being dishonest, as every child soon learns, being dishonest is not the way. And you will then never be trusted. And you can never have relationships with people if you tell lies, because then they can't trust you. And trust is the basis of love and relationship. Wealth will not give any blessing on the day of death, but it is integrity that will save your life. So all this mad desire to acquire wealth and to get riches, this will not help us on the final day when we come to die. And each of us, if Jesus doesn't come back, will have to die. And wealth will not save us. It is a life lived before God with integrity before Him that is what is going to be allowed to continue at the resurrection in God's kingdom. Those who cannot be trusted become trapped by their own greed, and it is righteousness that saves the honest man. So again, dishonesty and greed go together. And it is these things that God is so against. So this is where, with these kind of questions and issues, God's truth cuts very, very deeply. Because in various ways, we are all tempted to be greedy. It may be for material things, it may be for money, but it may also be for other things like respect, like people thinking well of us. And so this leads people to dishonesty, and therefore they cannot be trusted. When a wicked man dies, his hope perishes with him, and the hope that he's placed in wealth comes to nothing. We think of the parable of the rich fool, who built bigger barns, and then suddenly his life was required of him, and he left it all behind. And so there is no hope beyond the grave for the wicked. All they have is this life. And this is the great difference that it makes, having been baptized into Jesus and having the hope of resurrection with Him to life eternal in the future kingdom of God. This life is not all that we've got, and we're not going helter-skelter to just build up as much wealth as we possibly can now. The righteous are preserved from trouble, and it comes instead upon the wicked. Well, that is not always true in this life, because, as the Bible writers often lament, the wicked seem to have a great life, and it's the righteous that suffer. Think of the book of Job. But ultimately, this will be true. These proverbs, a lot of them, are only ultimately true at the day of judgment. It's then that the righteous are protected from trouble, and the wicked are going to suffer. The talk of the godless ruins people, but the wisdom of the wise saves people. So then, bad talking, gossiping about people, destroys people's lives. It destroys relationships, and it leaves people just living their lives in misery. And that is the power of the tongue. And this is why God is very, very concerned about the words that we speak. That's why Jesus says, by your words you'll be judged, and by your words you will be condemned. A city is happy when the righteous are blessed, and there are joyful shouts when the wicked die. Well, again, that is only true of a righteous city. A city becomes great when righteous men give it their blessing, but a city is ruined by the words of the wicked. So a whole city can be ruined by words. Great big walls and great big strong buildings that are built can be brought down all by words. This is the power of words. And this is why it is a fundamental duty of all God's children to watch their words. And if we are to watch our words, seeing that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart or the mind, the mouth speaks, we need to watch our mind. And that can only be changed by the Spirit of God, by God's Spirit being in our spirit. The fool speaks scornfully about others. The wise man keeps quiet. So don't speak badly about other people. That's really a major thing to bear in mind when we consider how positive God is about us. The person who gossips can never be trusted, but you can rely and trust in somebody who is trustworthy. So if somebody tells gossips, everyone may like to listen to them, because as another proverb says, it's like juicy morsels, it's like juicy bits of meat. But you're not going to go and tell that person a secret, because you know that that person is going to spread your secret all over the place. So then, gossipers might appear to be popular in that people come to them wanting to hear what they have to say, but in the end they become very lonely people, because who is going to trust a gossiper? Who's going to want to have a heart-to-heart conversation with someone whom you know is a gossip? A gracious woman is respected, but a woman without wisdom is disgraced. A lazy man never has money, but the aggressive get rich. Well, that's an example of a proverb that is sort of true in this life. Because in this life, this is how it is. So it seems that the lazy don't get money. But I think this is really Solomon justifying his own hard work. He does seem to now and again show this idea that he thinks that hard work is blessed and gives lots of money. But it's kind of not completely true, because a lot of people work very hard all day, all week, all year, and they never really get very much money because they're abused by other people. Or they just never get much money. So I think Solomon's trying to justify himself. The wicked do not really gain anything, but the righteous will be certainly rewarded. And again, that is true, ultimately. The wicked might steal houses, deceive people out of documents to get their house or their flat off them, deceive them over money, but they don't really gain anything in the end. It seems they do, because in the end, this life is very, very short. And at the day of judgment, it's the righteous who will be rewarded and the wicked who will die forever. Those who are determined to do right will live, but those who insist on their wrongdoing will die. So we've got to be determined to do right. Now, all this implies that we've got to make some effort, that we cannot just drift along. We've got to make some mental effort. And God will confirm us in this by the Holy Spirit. But we have got to make that effort. The Lord hates the people who have an evil mind, but he loves those who think rightly. So God looks at people according to what their heart is like. He looks at what they're thinking inside, and according to that, He has an opinion upon them. So what we think in our heart is so important. And this is why, if we want to control what's in our heart, well, the way to do that is to fill our mind with God's word and not to expose ourselves to the constant influence of that which is wrong and that which is of the flesh, in what we listen to, in what we watch, and things like that, and the company that we keep. You can be certain that evil men will be punished and the righteous will be saved. We can be certain of that, although it doesn't seem so in this life, because we know that Jesus resurrected to show that there is a certainty of a resurrection and judgment to come. So you can be sure that the way of righteousness will be rewarded. In this life, of course, it doesn't seem like that, that you do good and you suffer. A beautiful woman without wisdom is just like a gold ring in a pig's nose. So he's saying, don't look at a woman just because she's beautiful. That is actually something inappropriate if she doesn't have wisdom. All she looks like is a gold ring in the nose of a pig. Some people will spend their wealth very freely and will be generous, and yet they still get richer. Others are very mean, and yet they get poorer. And those who are mean often think that people like us who try to be generous with what we have, that we're stupid. But that is not how it works out, finally. And so he says, be generous, and you will prosper. Bless others, and you will be blessed. Now again, that is not necessarily in this life. Ultimately, this is true only when Jesus comes back at the Day of Judgment. The people will curse a man who hoards up grain in time of famine, but they praise the one who sells it. Well, that is exactly Joseph, isn't it? Quite a lot of these proverbs do comment on historical incidents in the history of Israel. He did hoard up grain in the 7 good years, but then he sold it. So it's not all about making money. It's about helping people. I think that's the point of what he's saying here. Those who trust in their wealth will fall like leaves in the autumn, but the righteous prosper like the leaves of summer. So trusting in wealth, this is the problem. And Jesus seems to say that having wealth is the same as trusting in it. Because when he says that the rich man is really, it's going to be really hard for the rich man to get into the kingdom, the disciples say, well, who can be saved? And then he defines a bit more what he means by saying how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom. So if we have riches, the temptation is always to trust in them. And the bottom line is that we are to trust in God. Like children trust their parents, we are to trust in God, that he loves us and is capable of saving us and wants to save us, and he loves us.